Hello, once again, I'm here with Kevin McNamee. Kevin is the president of Costa Rica Immigration and Moving Experts, and he and his team have been assisting individuals and families in their move to Costa Rica for way over 20 years now, and he and his wife, Sam, have been living in Costa Rica for a little over 35 years. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for coming with us here today on this adventure.
You're welcome entirely, Senor. Very welcome. Look forward to another successful, what do you call it? I don't want to call it podcast.
You can call it that or anything you want, my friend. It doesn't matter to me. Hey, Kevin, this is our 53rd episode of Costa Rica Conversations with Kevin and Skip. And for those of you who are listening, this is basically a conversation, usually about 20 minutes long, and we talk about so many things about Costa Rica and the Pura Vida lifestyle. And our goal here is simply to inform you about what's going to happen if you visit here or if you're considering a move here. And as I said, Kevin has been helping people move to Costa Rica for a long time now. And today, Kevin, what I thought would be a lot of fun is to talk about the difference between Costa Rica in 1990, when you came approximately, and March 2nd of 2025. Why don't you start us off with a little time traveling there?
Time travel. That's a interesting when you think 1990 was actually the year we moved down here. Time travel was about the only kind of travel you really wanted to do because the roads were in, well, undesirable conditions is a good way of putting it. There's still quite a hangover to the days of back then. People had it imbued in their minds when they move here now that the roads are going to be terrible. And I beg to differ. The roads are much, much, much better, and many more of them. Highway 27, non-existent in the old days, and that just took, that actually made the west coast of Costa Rica boom, and it's been in existence now for 10 or 12 years. It's a for-profit highway in as much as that there are toll booths, but they keep the roads in very good condition. They rushed it to get it in place so that the president of that administration got credit for it under his regime. But the fact is they've continued to widen and expand and not lengthen, but doing all the shore up work that has carried on. But that was the big change then. But I believe there's been something like 180% increase in the number of cars here in the last 5 years. It's just, it's no use complaining about it because nobody's going to give up their car. They've tried certain things, restricted driving downtown San Jose because they just can't handle the traffic now. So that if your license plate ends, for example, with a 1 or 2, you can't drive downtown Mondays. 3 and 4 would be Tuesdays. And I know that Friday, Saturday is 9 because my both vehicles end with the letter 9 or the number 9. So they're doing some attempts to alleviate it, but barring double stacked highways and such, which we'll never be able to afford, it's going to be a case of grin and bear it. Once you get to your destination, surprisingly enough, there's very few or very little driving required. But, I'm talking about a tourist coming here to the country and such. But it's an interesting scenario how things have changed over the years.
Kevin, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this today is because prior to this podcast recording, you mentioned something about Romasur, and for those of you who don't know San Jose, Romasur is about halfway between downtown San Jose and where Kevin lives, Santa Ana and Escazú area, and Romasur is also the location for the U.S. Embassy, but there's a beautiful park called La Sabana Park. It used to be the first airport in San Jose before the Juan Santa Maria International Airport came about quite a few years ago in the northern part of San Jose, which is called Alajuela. However, one thing that you said, Kevin, was that when you're in that area, you can't really look sideways to the mountains. You have to look straight up to the sky. And I remember, even in 2002, about 12 years after you got here, my gosh, it was just all green and beautiful. And I'm sure it's still beautiful, but there's a lot of skyscrapers around, aren't there?
It is astronomical number. Yeah. Honestly, I used to travel to Panama quite a bit, and we used to sort of ridicule Panama for the high rises on the overlooking the ocean. But now, and I was living in Romershore at that time, but now, if it wasn't for the lack of the sea, you would swear you're downtown Panama for the number of high rises or condos. And we're talking not two or three stories, we're talking 20, 30, 40 story condos. And it's one after the other, after the other, after the other. In my walking days, and again, I continue to walk, but now I live in Santa Ana. But we used to walk through the very areas that are now condos. And yes, they keep a green space here and there because you're compelled by law to have a certain ratio. But it is you can't see anything but cement. Now, that appeals to a lot of people, particularly those people that buy with the idea of renting their units out to Airbnb and such. It's been a very, very lucrative. It is still a very, very lucrative business, but there's no control on the supply end of it. It's only controlled by the desire for people to have another building, and it seems to be a insatiable appetite for this condo type living, and it has some advantages. In fact, my wife and I moved down here in 1990, about 91 or 92, and I forget exactly what year, we bought a condo in Romershore, and at that time it was six stories with a penthouse on top. It was almost an unheard of thing at the time. That was the tallest building. That was the tallest apartment block. Now, there were churches and such around that could be taller, I guess. But I believe it was the tallest building, actually, in the whole area. And now it is dwarfed. I mean, literally, you're looked down upon by a thousand eyes, no matter which direction you look at, because of the high-rise condos and such, 30 and 40-story high. I mean, where does the traffic go other than underground parking to populate those kind of edifices, because they're doing it. I mean, the cars go and come and go and such, but it's a total change. And that's the Romershore area. There's a lot of other areas in the country, particularly the beaches, they're not allowed to build high rises because they don't want to block other people's views and such. The Romershore gave up the privacy aspect, but they went high density and obviously lucrative because they continue to sell as they build, but the occupancy rate is very, very high, which means very, very profitable for the owner.
Kevin, I know when you first moved here, we've had conversations about this many times over a cup of coffee, but when you first moved here, I know you and your wife spent a little bit of time in Jaco Beach, and you were telling me that you could kick yourself three or four times for not investing in a nice little one-acre lot right off of the downtown area for maybe $20,000, and my gosh, now it's $2.4 million. What a difference, huh?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Jaco, which has always been prided itself as being the closest beach to Santa Ana or San Jose, Santa Ana, Escazú, San Jose. But it was about a 7-hour trip to go down there because of the roads and such. As you drove into town, there was a road, a highway on your as you're driving in on your left-hand side, there was rice fields upon rice fields. On the right-hand side was a strip of hotels and ocean, and that's it. There were homes tucked away in the background. Obviously, people didn't commute back and forth to Aqua Beach, but there was very, very little population and very, very little construction. And now it is literally, well, the rice fields now are converted into lodgings and businesses and such. It's a little like, I used to refer to it as Carney Town, because it was just like a carnival with everybody out pushing tours and pushing surfboards and on ad nauseum. But my wife and I were there a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't been there for 4 or 5 years. It has doubled again since I was here last, or there last. It's actually rather intriguing now, because I always thought of it as Kearney Town, but tell you the truth, there were some condos there that we looked at just to say, well, let's get out of Santa Ana for a weekend and such, and we can rent it out if we don't use it ourselves. But cooler heads prevailed. My wife said no. So,
well, that's usually how it is. That's how it is in my household.
I wish she had said a no to a few other things I suggested over the years, but such is life. But no, we don't. At our tender ages and such, that an investment is buying a green banana versus a fresh banana, because you don't know how much longer you're going to be pushing up daisies, or until you push up daisies.
I like that. I think I'll talk to my talk to people with myself having a tender age. I like that. That's a lot better than getting a little bit older than we want to. Kevin, one thing I do want to talk about, it's a little bit off the subject. However, I talk to so many people, not so many, once in a while, I talk to somebody who still thinks that Costa Rica is a third world country. And many ask me if they have to bring their own toilet paper, or if they have to wear one of those hats, the mosquito hats with the nets on them. And I try to explain to them exactly what you're talking about right now. In 2025, March 2nd, which is the day of this recording episode, it is not a third world country. There are cell phones. We have fiber optics, cable TV, just everything that the United States has. We even have Walmarts, don't we?
Oh, good Lord, Walmart has moved in. They try to buy literally every store in the country to put them under their umbrella, and they were successful in as much as two or three of the major chains have been converted to Walmart. Again, that's, everybody says it with almost a sense of distaste, but the fact is they also shop there because you get the deals from back home or down here, only in colonies instead of dollars. And they won't refuse dollars either if you wave it under their noses and such. In fact, we had some friends, actually family, came down from Detroit about 5-6 years ago, and they literally could not get over the idea that Walmart here is so much more modern and neat and clean and tidy and on and on and on. Now, I don't know, I never visited my family in Detroit, or I did when I was 3 years old, but you know, the comparison, they were bewildered that the quality of Walmart and the selection, even, and their food courts and such, they were gobsmashed.
Yeah, that's incredible. Kevin, getting back to the topic of the day, the difference between 1990 and 2025, how do you think, and I am talking about San Jose, because there are still many, many towns, in fact, most towns across Costa Rica, it doesn't matter if it's 2046, it's still going to be the same, laid back, Pura Vida lifestyle, everything tranquilo. But in San Jose, Santa Ana, Escazú, there has been quite a change, hasn't there? And I'm not talking about the physical part of it. I'm talking about the attitudes of the people. To be honest with you, it is more fast-paced, isn't it?
Yes, because the influence of the owner managers of these businesses insist on people picking up the pace because the overhead has increased, so they have to have productivity increase. But that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is there's a hardcore resistance to change, in as much as that the family structure remains the family structure, and grandpa and grandma, the hierarchy of the high end of the hierarchy, still gives the shot, call the shots all the way down, with less impact now, admittedly, but they are still in a previous generation, and they're going to maintain it as much as possible. They're losing their grip as they pass on and such, but we haven't lost the innate intrigue or innate incentive of, or beauty of, that's the best word, the beauty of their lifestyle here. Family remains number one, and everything stops for the family. And then you have that hardcore, solid footing. You can preach all you want, and you can insist all you want, unless it's an employee of yours, and they are totally dependent on your largeness for their livelihood. You'll get some changes made, but those changes will revert back to what people wanted to do in the first place when you're not there. I like it. I have to admit, I admire them for it, and I encourage them as much as I can.
Well, here's something to finish up with. We have about 3 minutes to go, so that means I know you're going to talk about 4 or 5 minutes, which is fine. No problem at all. But what I want to ask you is, for those people who want to come to Costa Rica either for a visit or to live here, can you honestly say that they can still find that Pura Vida lifestyle in Costa Rica? I think they can, for sure. How about you?
I don't know whether you said can or can't, honestly. I just didn't hear quite what you said.
Can,
I
would, yes, see, can.
Yeah, okay. Yes, certainly it's here and alive and well. It's the further away you get from the foreigner influence, the more you get closer to the traditional values and hierarchy of the family structure and such. And it's like a breath of fresh air. I can only go back for 35 years, but it must have been tremendous 50 years ago or 100 years ago. But at the same time, the people didn't have the modern conveniences that they have today. When we first moved here, graffiti seemed to be in vogue. There couldn't be a white wall or a white fence that didn't have graffiti on it. The Costa Ricans let it be known that they didn't want to see that anymore. And you know what? It went away because the kids were all going to school and such, and they would say, oh, those are the gangs that are doing the graffiti or something like that. And they got talked to by their parents, by the parents of the kids, the local kids, and all of a sudden that disappeared. So that's what I'm talking about. There's progress, and then there's positive progress. And I like the positive progress that looks backwards and say that wall is white, it will remain white. And if you destroy that wall, you will be repaying the person for the destruction. That's just an example. That's what I like.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point. And I'll finish off just by saying that because we were talking about how modern Romeser is, for example, keep in mind that there still are neighborhoods very close to that area that you can't tell that it's an urban oasis. You really can't. You can still feel that Pura Vida lifestyle among the people, whether it's downtown San Jose or Santa Ana or a little town just 20 miles west of Dominical in the southern zone. I think Costa Rica, for many people, have the best of both worlds, because if you want the 2025, you got it. And if you want the 1990, just like you were used to, Kevin, you got that as well. Don't you agree?
Right. It's a personal decision. Do you want Starbucks or do you want the soda? You know, exactly. The soda being the little restaurant. There you are.
Exactly. Exactly. Very well put, Kevin. Well, thank you. Out of time, and I really appreciate it. And keep in mind, folks, that again, Kevin is the president of Costa Rica Immigration and Moving Experts. If you have any questions about legal residency, about real estate, anything that has to do with either visiting or moving to Costa Rica forever, you can contact Kevin. I'll leave his email address and the link to his website, Costa Rica Immigration and Moving Experts.com, and also his WhatsApp phone number in the program notes associated with this specific podcast episode. And Kevin, I think we still have some more to talk about. Maybe we'll do a part two on Monday. I really appreciate your time.
Well, you're entirely welcome, Skip. As you know, I enjoy these little meetings, if you want to call it, but it's also good to keep one's own mind refreshed as to what we have here and the positive aspect of what we have here versus the old country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the good outweighs the bad in many respects. Kevin, thank you very much for your time, and we will talk to you tomorrow for sure.
Hasta luego, amigo.